Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, one of the most important things that you can do, I think, in the total wealth planning process, right, in retirement, is make sure you've properly prepared for the transition of wealth to the next generation, the wills and so on and so forth. And there's some key rules in those documents that I think people are sometimes unclear on.
Yeah.
Or perhaps, let's talk executor, because we're going to talk that in a minute. They think it's a privilege to be asked. And then they get themselves in over their head and they realize, oh my goodness, what have I gotten myself into? How do I get out of this?
The amount of times I have heard people say to me, I'm a executor of my parents' estate.
Right.
And I don't want to do this.
Right. Right.
Right. They're either at the beginning part. They're like, oh, what do I do, Faisal? Or they're going through the process. They have to deal with CRA. They have to talk to their siblings and beneficiaries. They have to go through all the assets and accounts, talk to all the financial institutions and all that stuff. And they're like, I did not know. I thought it was like some sort of title and that's it. It's tough. I have seen too many people be very flustered, frustrated, and just want to say, they throw their hands up and say, I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, and I had a call on Thursday to this particular point. A client is now acting in that capacity for their parent, called to say, I do not want my kids acting in this capacity. It's brutal. I want to change things. So I think we have to review what these key roles are, what your responsibilities are, and if you're in it and you want to get out of it, what is it going to take?
Yeah, so let's bring in on our reoccurring guest and expert for estate planning and so forth. It's Catherine Zhang, partner at Walsh LLP. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me again, guys.
All right, so you heard our little bit of preamble there. I want you, if you can, just walk us through the process for determining who an executor in your estate should be and why.
That's a great question. I think the first thing you have to ask yourself is, who are the people in my life that I would trust the most or feel most comfortable with leaving instructions to and have confidence in that they would be able to follow those instructions and number one, determine what all my assets are, determine what all my liabilities are, and then actually carry out the instructions. Sometimes clients will come in and think, well, am I obligated to appoint my kids? If I have three kids, do I have to appoint all of them? Or am I only allowed to appoint one person? Usually, what I start with is it really depends on your situation. It depends on whether or not you are comfortable with doing that with your children, if those are the people you would naturally turn to, and maybe how complex your estate is. If your estate is very complex and you've got a lot of assets to deal with, you've got a lot of potential beneficiaries, and maybe some trusts, maybe appointing an individual person isn't going to be the best fit. So we talk about maybe at that point appointing professional executors. That's an option too.
Catherine, I find that when people are selecting executors, one of the criteria is to understand the financial world, accounting, tax, dealing with financial institutions. I think that's one that they need to have some sort of understanding or background in. But I also think the human side of things, dealing with beneficiaries and people, needs a spot in there. And I find that the ones that are having the biggest challenge, it's not dealing with the financial institutions per se. It's not dealing with CRA or dealing with all the assets. It's dealing with the people, such as beneficiaries, trustees, and so forth. And then they throw their hands up and say, I quit. I don't want to do this. So let's talk about that one piece. When people say, I'm done, I don't want to do this. Can an executor quit? And if they can, what do they do?
I mean, black and white answer is yes, but it takes a couple of steps, particularly if they've already started administering the estate, if they've already started taking steps and representing themselves out, either to beneficiaries or financial institutions as the point person for the estate, they are unfortunately in a position where they need to get a special court order from the court to confirm that they can be discharged. And that's just to protect both them, in the sense that at that point they need to provide a report of all of the actions they've taken to date, and confirm with the court that those actions have been acceptable, and it gives the beneficiaries an opportunity to review what's been done to date. And then it helps the next executor coming in to start with, quote unquote, a clean slate, so that the new executor isn't stuck with potential liabilities or potential obligations that they didn't enter into on behalf of the estate.
So, Catherine, you said something at the beginning of that statement that I think we should clarify for people, because it's this notion of representing yourself at the beginning as the executor, mm-hmm. right? Maybe you can clarify that, because that can be very simple things that are done just to a regular person, not recognizing that you've now just accepted that role.
That's correct. So a lot of people, when they get the will and they're acting on behalf of the person who's passed away, they start making making inquiries, going to banks, trying to figure out what accounts were held. They make phone calls to insurance companies or utility companies to try and make sure bills are maintained. Even the simple act of making those inquiries and pointing to the fact that you've been named executor in the will and saying, yeah, this person's passed away, I'd like more information, that can get you caught in a situation where you are not able to step down from acting unless you've got a court order.
Now, Catherine, what if through the process, the executor doesn't perform all their duties that they've agreed to? What happens in that case, and who actually brings up those types of issues up?
That's a really great question. What I normally find is it's the beneficiaries who are just monitoring the estate. You know, it's pretty common that it'll take a significant period of time for an estate to be wound up, particularly if there are multiple assets and liabilities that an executor is dealing with. So the beneficiary is entitled to check in, make inquiries from time to time, and ask, what's the status of the estate? And if a period of time goes by and the status has not changed, then yeah, absolutely, a beneficiary is entitled to start making more serious inquiries or request a formal accounting from the executor.
And are there any potential negative outcomes? So if somebody's performed their duties and maybe they haven't lived up to it, is that different than if somebody has obviously acted in a way that is inappropriate?
Yes, absolutely. So I think the way the legislation works, there's the Estate Administration Act and the Surrogate Court Rules, which sets out what a personal representative or executor's duties are. And the core of that is they've got to act responsibly, in good faith, and, you know, to the best of their abilities, manage the estate in accordance with the deceased's wishes. If, you know, an investment has kind of gone downhill since the time that they took on the executorship, that may not be something that the personal representative can be liable for. It's just a market force that's happened during that time. And that's different from if there's malfeasance on behalf of the, on the part of the executor, and they're actually either completely neglecting their duties, or they're making decisions that are unreasonable and would prejudice the estate and the beneficiaries. There are different obligations and remedies for a beneficiary in that situation.
You know, this is where it gets very challenging. People have to understand what they're signing themselves up for. A lot of executors are surprised that they're the executor.
Yeah.
There's no communication in advance, so I think that's part of it. The other part of it is when you do or are named an executor and you have to act, at the point that you find out that you're an executor, I think you pause and see what the responsibilities are and can you actually fulfill those responsibilities. And above all, no matter what, get the proper legal, tax, and financial advice for everything. We can go on and on about this topic. I think it's a very important piece. We are looking at hosting a program about this in the new year because I think these are very important pieces. And so we can talk forever. But Catherine, we do have to pay some bills and go to commercial breaks. So I want to thank you for joining us today. We have been joined by Catherine Zhang, partner at Walsh LLP. Dave, part of the biggest issue that people have in retirement is as you grow and you start to have more assets, you end up figuring out how are you going to pass this on? Do you pass it on while you're alive or upon your death? But the biggest issue, will you impact your lifestyle as you pass assets on throughout your life or upon death? This is the key thing that we're going to help answer at our upcoming seminar on Tuesday, December 6th, 7 p.m., live at the Carriage House Inn. Now you need to register for this, so go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
If you ever ask yourself the question if the national debt is going to crater the economy? Stick around after the break to find out. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.